Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for November the 29th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news for the day, the FSA says LDP has been a costly program this fall, and it's looking at new ways to figure the posted county price. We'll have details of these and many other stories shortly. Amy Roach just called in with a commentary on the Farm City Week. We'll hear that today, too. And I'll update you on some of the upcoming WILL AM 580 Ag Outlook meetings and a few of those from U of I Extension, including a full report of this Thursday's Marketing Strategies for Consumer-Driven Agriculture Conference scheduled for the Interstate Center in Bloomington, Illinois. And naturally, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with ag meteorologist about the weather around the globe. Today, Don Day of Day Weather will join us for this Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The December wheat contract at $3.50, up 3. March futures at 3.16¾. They were up 3.5 for the day. December corn, a new contract low, 186¼. The settlement price down 1½. The new low down at 186 even for that contract. Corn futures, $2.50, down 1¼. And the May futures at $2.09¼, down 1¼. December corn for next year at $2.38. And that was down 1¢ for the day. January soybeans, $5.54, 4¼ lower. March contract at 4¼ lower as well, 5.61½ the settlement price. May futures at 5.67¼, down 3¾. And November beans at 5.82½, down 3¢. December bean meal, 170.30, down 140. December bean oil, 20.95. They were off 29 for the day. Mercantile exchange numbers, feeder cattle, January contract, 117.20, up 25. December live cattle, a dime higher at 92.80. And December lean hogs at $62.35 were down 65 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Wayne, just when you thought that the beans might be able to turn it around after yesterday's gains, she still managed to go down again today. What was up with the markets?
Well, we had a little bit of early fun buying in the beans and the wheat, but once that sort of got out of the way, prices continued their decline and liquidation, re-happened again. So it just seemed like we just couldn't hold the gains we got on to. We didn't have good follow through buying like we hoped for after yesterday's little reversal up. So, you know, we're still talking about bird flu. We're still talking about the amount of exports we're behind on the year because what we lost the Katrina time period that we were down, and it we've got to get China back here a little more aggressively. There's rumors of some more bookings of beans last night, but we're just moving sort of slow right now as to what we would like to for anticipated export numbers.
What's volume been like at the Chicago Board of Trade?
It's been moderate. Most of the volume was liquidation in the corn market today, Todd. We have first delivery day tomorrow for first notice day for the December corn tomorrow. We hope that there's a long-term monthly and weekly trend line that crosses around the 185-187 area, and we're hoping this should become key support there and should hold things together, and maybe the March corn won't fall below $2 if that can hold together. But the funds, they were in the 2,000 to 3,000 contracts of beans today, 1,500 to 2,000 meal, and probably 1,200 to 1,500 contracts of oil. So, not great numbers, but you know, it's not bad for this time of year.
This time of year, generally speaking, fairly slow in the markets, but usually a bit of a bounce as we head through December. Not much of one. Can we expect that not to come around through the month of December?
We're hoping that maybe some heavy deliveries get things cleansed out, and away we go again, that we might get a little bounce back in some of this corn. The wheat, of course, you know, the tight supplies. We also saw some possibility of an Iraq tender that way, and the crop ratings going down a little bit. So maybe the wheat could turn things around here a little bit, and we could get just a little pop starting next week.
Good news on the ethanol front. It appears that ethanol producers in the U.S., as we'll hear in just a few moments in the news segment, will likely be able to produce close to 4 billion, maybe more than 4 billion gallons of ethanol, which would meet the RFS requirements for 2006, and are on track this year to produce 3.8 billion gallons of ethanol. How much expansion is left in that marketplace?
Well, gosh, we hope that there's just unlimited expansion, because we'd sure like to be more dependent on our own renewable fuels than we would be on the Arabs over there. So, you know, for two reasons. Number one, it helps the farming industry, and number two, less interdependence on very expensive oil right now, Todd. So, you know, we're very much gung-ho on the ethanol idea and also the soy diesel. You know, we would hope that this year, with the beans producing more oil than usual per bushel, that you know, we'll see that go into soy diesel and really help the diesel industry. We're hearing that, you know, the diesel is very tight in some of our southern areas, and they're actually letting them burn the red or the on-farm fuel in some of the over-the-road trucks now because of the shortages.
You mentioned China, and there's some news out of China. Again, two more confirmations of
Bird flu strikes again, doesn't it?
Again today, and that probably weighed on the market. The South American bean crop looks like it's in pretty good condition. Rains falling across Argentina, that was bearish to the market today, too?
Unfortunately, we just keep hearing, you know, good growing conditions out of South America and Argentina, and it looks, you know, that's one of the positive things for their production levels. The only good thing that we can say is we heard that less money was spent on fertilizer and maybe a few acres cut back down there. So, you know, a lot of the estimates are down the 54 to 56 million metric tons rather than up around the 59 to 60 as we have in the past. So, but as far as the weather goes, ideal for down there right now.
What's news from the Mercantile Exchange?
Well, the Mercantile Exchange, we took a little hit in the hog market today. You know, we thought that these hogs have been a little overpriced. But a little bit of setback there and some technical selling. The cattle didn't do too much. It doesn't look like much cash trade will develop till later in the week as far as the cattle are concerned. But we are looking just a little bit toppy in the livestock markets here.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think, you know, we've seen the energy prices stay under control here, and we were reading on one of the news wires where they were talking that we could drop another $4 to $5 in crude oil. Now, whether that comes about or not, that would sure be good for fertilizer prices, and, of course, fuel prices to put the crop out.
One under the note, be safe on your drive up to the DeKalb County Farm Bureau at Sycamore, Illinois, for the Ag Outlook.
Yes, we're going to be looking forward, and hopefully a lot of the guys in that area will be able to come out tomorrow night. We'll get to meet them and talk to them, and just looking forward to a long drive.
Yeah, Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzlow, Bill Biederman will be up at the DeKalb County Farm Bureau at 7 o'clock. That's absolutely free, along with your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the radio stations, Dave Dickey, tomorrow evening. Thanks, Wayne. We appreciate you being with us today. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Ned Kieser forecast for tonight across the two-state region in the north and central sections. He says it'll be mostly cloudy. There'll be a few scattered flurries in the south, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows this evening from 17 in northwestern Illinois to 27 in southeastern Indiana. And tomorrow, says Ed, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 34 in northwestern Illinois to 48 in the far south.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now today's agricultural news will begin on the international front. World Trade Organization Director General Pascal Lamy this past weekend released a draft work plan for next month's Hong Kong summit. The 42-page draft unveiled shows WTO members are far from agreeing on critical issues, including the liberalization of farm trade. The draft does show progress made by WTO members during the past year and a half on a number of new rules, including anti-dumping measures and improvement of customs facilities. But work on ending ag tariffs or subsidies shows little signs of progress. Analysts say agreements ahead of the Hong Kong summit on that issue and others are a must, or there's little chance much will happen at the meeting. The meeting of all WTO ministers next month in Hong Kong had been meant to herald the successful conclusion of the Doha round of the trade talks. Instead, it may end up as a placeholder for further negotiations. Now on the domestic front, the U.S. may see a record in total ag exports for fiscal year 2006. We told you about that yesterday, but USDA does not see any growth in U.S. soybean exports. In fact, USDA chief economist Keith Collins says the agency last week cut its forecast for U.S. soybean exports in 2006.
We lowered our export forecast by about 500,000 tons for soybeans, about $800 million in total for oilseeds since our August estimate. That simply reflects the much slower pace of export movements so far this fall and our outstanding sales, which are running below last year's levels.
USDA still expects U.S. soybean exports to exceed $10 billion in fiscal year 2006, and on Monday announced China had just bought 116,000 tons of that oilseed from the United States. Well, the U.S. Soybean Board would like to take part of the credit for those international purchases. In fact, it says some of those soybean checkoff dollars are paying off in U.S. exports. U.S. soybean farmers continue, they say, to stay on top of international markets. In the 2004-05 marketing year, the United States hit another year as the top exporter and producer of soybeans, exporting 1.4 billion bushels of beans and meal, and soybean oil remains the number one vegetable oil consumed around the globe, with 78% increase in U.S. soy oil exports last year. Greg Anderson, Nebraska soybean farmer and chairman of the United Soybean Board, says long-term international marketing efforts are paying off for U.S. soybean farmers.
The soybean checkoff is making a difference in exports. Currently, 46% of our crop is exported. Number one customer, China, who last marketing year bought 434 million bushels of U.S. soybeans. That's a win-win situation for us as soybean producers, knowing that the soybean checkoff program has had programs in China for a number of years to increase demand and awareness of the quality of U.S. beans, making a difference in the purchases that they've no doubt done. And we're looking to a long-term business with them in the future.
China is once again the top export market for the U.S., buying 435 million bushels of soybeans. By May of this year, U.S. exports to China had already exceeded total exports from the previous year. U.S. soybean farmers are growing soybean varieties with high-quality traits, which are meeting customer demands in China and abroad. And Anderson says soybean checkoff representatives working in China and other markets play a critical role in maintaining a positive presence by attending to those customer needs.
We're looking just very recently in the term of things, 10 or 20 years ago, an exporter of soybeans, actually our competitor, and now it's quickly reversed and they're our number one customer internationally. So we're delighted about that. We've seen the success of the soybean checkoff program working in that area, and we're using that same strategy in other developing countries too for our markets.
Within the last decade, China went from the world's largest exporter of soybeans to the largest importer. Anderson says checkoff-funded market development has helped to make that happen. Well, a top official at the USDA's Farm Service Agency is promising FSA will soon review the way it establishes posted county prices. Mike Yost, Associate FSA Administrator, says the move comes as USDA experiences, in his words, enormous demand for loan deficiency payments. According to Yost, USDA has made some $3 billion in LDP payments to farmers this fall. Those LDP payments are dependent on the posted county price, and USDA has faced perennial questions about how those prices are formulated. In the past, the PCP has been as much as 10 cents higher or lower in counties that are adjacent, but in different states. And finally today, ethanol production is on pace to meet 2006 RFS. The U.S. Energy Information Administration released data last week showing the U.S. ethanol industry now has the capacity to produce 4 billion gallons a year. That figure is important because the energy bill signed by President Bush in August requires 4 billion gallons of renewable fuels to be used in 2006. The National Corn Growers Association says the ethanol production number proves the United States industry can easily meet the 2006 requirement. The EIA says ethanol production reached 261,000 barrels a day in September, which amounts to about 4 billion gallons of ethanol annually if production is maintained at that level for an entire year. Through September, the U.S. ethanol industry had produced more than 2.8 billion gallons of the fuel. Industry experts estimate the industry will produce more than 3.9 billion gallons of ethanol in 2005. That's up 14% from last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus tells us this was the 5th anniversary of the Farm City Week celebrations.
For 5 decades, National Farm City Week has forged a link between our nation's rural and urban residents. The collaboration began in 1955 on a train moving toward Washington, D.C., when Charles Dana Bennett, an independent entrepreneur from Vermont, and Merle Tucker, chairman of the Kiwanis International Agriculture and Conservation Committees, struck up a conversation. Even in 1955, they shared the beliefs that the public had a poor public image of agriculture, and urban dwellers without direct ties to farming were strongly influencing agriculture policies. Many important agricultural milestones reached in 1955 still influence farming today, and through the years, they have played a part in Farm City Week activities and celebrations around the nation. Consider these events that took place in 1955 and how current Farm City Week activities bring country and city folks closer together. Tractors outnumbered horses in the United States for the first time in history. Farmers driving tractors, combines, and farm trucks began sharing the road with former urban dwellers experiencing the country life for the first time. Today, neighbors often meet neighbors for the first time at Farm City events, where they learn about each other's lives and discover new ways of coexisting peacefully. In 1955, Lloyd Conover patented tricycline, the first antibiotic made by chemically modifying a naturally produced drug. It soon became one of the most useful antibiotics for treating a number of infectious human and animal diseases. The debate over which antibiotics and how much of them should be used for humans and animals is still fierce, with strong convictions on each side. Farm City activities provide a forum for discussion about the judicious use of antibiotics in livestock production and the precautions that farmers take to ensure they are used responsibly. Tappan introduced the first microwave in 1955, designed for home use. Although marketed to consumers, it was still a large and costly luxury item. Sadly, unwrapping a frozen food entree and zapping it in the microwave is the closest contact many young people have to agriculture today. Farm City Learning Barn displays at schools, county fair exhibits with growing crops and live animals, and tasting events at farmers markets all serve to bridge the gap between farmers and the non-farming public. Although many things have changed since Farm City Week began in 1955, the underlying challenge of forging a viable bond between farmers and urban residents remains the same. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own. They reflect her opinions and do not necessarily reflect those of the station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850. Well, up next, from farmers' markets to foreign markets, food entrepreneurs to farmers with agritourism operations. Advertising can be the determining factor of success or failure, profit or loss. We'll hear about the December 1st conference in Bloomington called Marketing Strategies for Consumer-Driven Agriculture. Marketing an agricultural product is key to its success. Farmers can spend Thursday of this week trying to unlock that door. University of Illinois Extension will host the Marketing Strategies for Consumer-Driven Agriculture Conference at the Interstate Center in Bloomington, Illinois. It starts at 9 o'clock December the 1st. Andy Larson is an extension specialist with the Initiative for Development of Entrepreneurs in Agriculture. He says the day-long event will feature speakers and breakout sessions designed to help small, medium, and large-sized farm businesses learn how they can be more successful at advertising and marketing themselves.
For example, we have a couple of folks talking about farmers markets. One, a very experienced meat marketer who has been to hundreds of markets in Illinois. Another is a market manager of 5 Kankakee area farmers markets. And most of the time, these are going to appeal to slightly smaller farm and food businesses. Some of the ones that I consider to be appealing to more large-scale businesses include a talk on logistics. It's called Getting It There, how to get your food product from the farm to the plate.
Some of the challenges these farms face include preparing for fluctuations in everything from weather and fuel prices to product design and exchange rates. That's why the U of I has invited a wide variety of experienced business people to lead breakout sessions at the conference. Wally Furrow from Furrow Vineyard and Winery and Noreen Dollinger from Dollinger Family Farm will be in to talk about how to attract customers to an agritourism enterprise and to keep them coming back for more. Pat Baer from Goodness Greenness and Will Allen from Growing Power will share some of the finer points of food distribution and how to get farm products on customers' tables, whether they're down the street or across the border. In that way, whatever the size or type of the business, people will be able to come home from the day, says Andy Larson, with innovative marketing ideas.
The biggest benefit of this is just meeting other people who have done it already and who have been successful and who have kind of seen the same roadblocks that you have, but found an innovative and creative way to move past those roadblocks.
To learn more about the conference, call the McLean County Farm Bureau or the Extension office there, or use Google on the web to search for consumer-driven agriculture. The conference will be held Thursday, December the 1st from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Interstate Center in Bloomington, Illinois. The cost is $50 at the door. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. By the way, if that alternative marketing strategy seminar in Bloomington on Thursday of this week is not your cup of tea, don't worry. There are plenty of other meetings you can attend this winter, some from WILL, some from University of Illinois Extension. The Farm Income 2006 series kicks off December the 8th. These are put on by the Ag Economist at the U of I. Registration coming up very quickly. In fact, that one ends on the 5th of December, but it's easy to register for, along with the other four meetings that are in this series all across the state of Illinois. The Farm Income 2006 series starts on December the 8th at the Crown Plaza in Springfield, the 13th. They'll be in Rochelle on the 14th in Moline, December the 19th in Urbana here in Champaign County, and on December the 20th at the Holiday Inn in Mount Vernon. That's the Farm Income 2006 series. You need to register quickly for that one. The registration site is FarmDoc. That's at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Of course, there are other meetings too. The WILL AM 580 Ag Outlook meetings are coming up. And on November the 30th, you can pick one up. That's tomorrow evening in Sycamore at the DeKalb County Farm Bureau building at 7 o'clock. Dave Dickey will be out along with Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzulo, and Bill Biederman if you're in the northern part of the state in DeKalb County at 7 o'clock. This is absolutely free. You can stop by the Farm Bureau building there in Sycamore, and you do not need to register for the AM 580 Ag Outlook panels. If that one's not close enough for you, maybe you can pick up the panel that will be held December the 6th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Paul Cooley, Clayton Pulp, and Chuck Shelby on that one. That's at the Bi-State Ag Production Program, so it's a day-long event. The panel is at 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern Time. And one other at the Johnning Civic Center in Kokomo, Indiana on December the 13th. More details on on that one later. Of course, you can hit our WILL AM 580 website anytime you'd like to at WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture, and you can catch up on all those Ag Outlook panels that are scheduled throughout the winter time. Well, in about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A state official called as a prosecution witness in the racketeering trial of former Illinois Governor George Ryan had some good things to say about his former boss today. Former Secretary of State's official Alexander Nelson testified today that Ryan regularly stuck by him during political feuds with Ryan's campaign manager, Scott Faywell. The committee charged with a search for a new president at Parkland College in Champaign expects applications to start arriving in a matter of days. The search committee last week put together a profile of what they're looking for in a successor to outgoing President Zalima Harris. Committee chair and Parkland board member Lynn Warfel says they expect interviews with finalists to start in February. The Illinois Army National Guard's extensive involvement in the war in the Middle East has left a serious shortfall in equipment because a lot of it has been left overseas. Numbers from the National Guard show troops here have only about half of the Humvees and heavy trucks they're supposed to, and just 10% of one kind of machine gun. Senator Dick Durbin and Governor Rob Blagojevich are urging the federal government to provide more money to boost equipment levels. Southern Indiana Republican Congressman Mike Sodrell says the war in Iraq is going better than the way the media portrays it. Sodrell, who has just returned from a two-day visit to Iraq, says U.S. troops there are aware of growing war opposition back home. Advocates for children in Indiana are calling for a state commission to examine the overall needs of the youngest Hoosiers and ways to meet them. They say lawmakers, educators, and others must unite to improve the very poor conditions that many children find themselves in. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here at the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well this afternoon. Tell me about the weather forecast for the next couple of days here in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, the Midwest.
Well, it's going to stay very wintry. The big storm that's been making all the headlines is moving out into the northern Great Lakes now, but we are going to see two more systems move in, one out of the Rockies this weekend, another one early next week, and the tap into Canadian air now is there. It's been gone or non-existent for most of the fall season, but now the door is open to Canada, and so we're going to see more cold Canadian air in the Midwest. And it looks like, Todd, that winter has gotten off to a late start in many areas, but it's here now and likely here to stay for a while.
Canadian air usually means really quite cold. Are we talking Canadian or Arctic air or just Canadian air down in that 30-degree level where we are at the moment?
Probably about where we're there now. However, as we get later into the forecast period, especially into early next week, a little touch of that Arctic air could spill into the Great Lakes in some areas of the northern and western Corn Belt. So the trend is going to be for below normal temperatures and getting to those very cold levels into early December.
Touch on South America for me and planting progress there. I think over 90% of the beans are in the ground. And are they doing well moisture-wise?
Well, they're doing okay. Now, there's some areas in Argentina that are dry. Brazil has had the best moisture, but the trend is going to be very favorable for early crop development with near-average precipitation in South America.
And if you turn your attention to Australia, how's the wheat crop faring?
Not bad. They could use a little bit of moisture in some of the central and western areas, but conditions there looking okay.
And did I hear when I called you at a different number today that you're at a Polaris dealer? Are you picking up something for your wintertime fun?
The snowmobiles. That's right. After this big storm that's moved on through, it's that time of year.
All right. Well, good luck shopping and don't spend too much money this afternoon.
Okay.
All right. Thanks much, Don.
Thank you, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And he joins us here on the Closing Market Reports on Tuesday afternoons. Hey, don't forget to tune in at 8:49 tomorrow morning. That that for our opening, rather pre-opening market report. Dave Dickey will be back from his vacation to stop in and tell you about what's happening in the overnight trade and what could happen during the day trade. That starts at 8:49. That's our first agricultural broadcast of the day, followed at 9:50 by the second one with the opening market report. Dave returns then too. It's all happening here on your agricultural information station, WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.